When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
You ever heard the story of Harry? He was a legend around here. Until one afternoon, he left and never came back. Turns out, Harry went and made himself a website using Squarespace. Used Squarespace domains to buy artisanseatcushions.com. And he built a beautiful site with an online store to sell his artisan seat cushions. Now Harry's sitting on a fortune. And if our Harry can do it, anyone can. Build your business at squarespace.com. Use offer code EVERYTHING for 10% off your website or domain.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Probably not wise to admit this going into a three-hour show, but there's a common thread amongst the team members this afternoon where we're all just a little tired. I didn't sleep very well last night. Ethan didn't sleep very well. Sue?
I never sleep enough.
Well, you never sleep enough. Fred, did you sleep okay last night?
I did not because the power went out at our house.
Oh, no.
What?
Did it really?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was kind of hot.
Yeah.
Oh, Fred.
I had half a pound of Twizzlers before I went to sleep, and I honestly, I wish I was making that up, but I believe that that might have had a little bit too much sugar at 11 o'clock last night. Was not good for my sleep cycle.
No.
But man, those Twizzlers were good. You know, I don't have them on supply at my house all the time, but it was certainly an impulse buy when I went to my Walmart the other day. I grabbed them. They have them kind of on the end cap, if you will.
Yes,
you can't resist
yes.
them. You really can't.
Are they the nubs?
I can.
No, I don't do those, Fred. Oh. I do No. Although those are good, too, you know. So how is everyone this afternoon? Speaking of storms, Sue, I don't know about you, but when I came in here a couple hours ago, it was just pouring rain. When I left West County, like where I live, it was not raining. I get to Hampton in 44, and Fred is communicating with me saying, the TVs are out because we have DirecTV here in this building. So, you know, when the rain falls hard, you can't see that. That's one thing I really do like a lot better about YouTube TV, because I was a DirecTV person for a long time. And, you know, during snows and during heavy rains, you lose your signal. But, I mean, it was really, really pouring. We have, and I'm so much looking forward to this because I had a chance to say hi to him before the show. He's in the building doing a couple of interviews. Comedian George Wallace will be here right after Sue's news.
Ooh.
Now, this dude is a legend. And I had to refresh myself on some of his history because it's so fascinating. But if you go back to the 1970s, first of all, he worked in advertising in New York City. Like, he was the guy that was responsible for the New York Times billboards and stuff like that.
Wow.
And selling that. And he made a fair amount of money doing that. And then he kind of segued into comedy. He wrote for Sanford and Son, so he knew Red Fox.
Love that.
But then he kind of, you know, really, really got into that crew with Jay Leno and Robin Williams and Jerry Seinfeld. He was Jerry's best man, and he's still best friends with Jerry Seinfeld.
Wow.
So he's coming to Helium this weekend, and based on the conversation that I had with him when he was in another studio, I think it's going to be fantastic. So he'll visit with us coming up at 4:30 this afternoon. We have John Levine from the Washington Free Beacon coming up here in a few minutes, another great political type, J. Peter Zane, as well. Now, one of the stories of the day is the speech tonight. We're going to air it here on 97.1 FM Talk. Of course, yesterday I was telling you the speech was last night, and Fred had to correct me. I was off. I'm going to the soccer match tonight. You can't say game, right? I think you have to say match. On the pitch. I'll be on the pitch tonight, Fred. So I'm going to miss the speech myself. Uh-huh. I don't even know. Do we know confirmed at this point if the networks are even going to air it? Because they were kind of wavering on this earlier.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I heard Caroline Leavitt's news conference today, and she was imploring the networks to air it. So I think some will not.
I think you're right about
Fox
that.
Fox will, of course.
Yeah. So here's, let me play. And by the way, I don't know if you just kind of subtly noticed that, but Carolyn's back. She is, what I heard her say today, she's kind of been working for the last couple of weeks, but, you know, she had a baby a couple of months ago, so she's been out on maternity leave, but this was her first briefing today. And she was asked about the speech. So here's one of the things she said.
I would encourage everyone to tune in tonight. I've seen a lot of reporting and frankly misreporting about what the president will say. I think the American people will be relieved to hear what they are hearing from the president of the United States and his commitment to transparency and the focus on the integrity of our elections tonight. I think all Republicans and Democrats should recognize this should be a nonpartisan issue. If we don't have safe and secure elections in our country, we cannot have a country. It is a vital part of our democracy, of our constitutional republic. The president will be speaking about that tonight.
So I've seen some things floating around about what the speech is going to entail, and I'm not going to spread those because at this point, I don't know if they're true. I really don't. And we're just going to have to see. But one of the questions that came up is, and you know, I'm kind of in this camp, although, again, to Carolyn's point, she'll make it again here, haven't heard the speech. I'm not interested in relitigating the 2020 election, okay? I'm interested in moving forward and talking about the elections that are going to take place here in 4 months and the one in 2028, because I think going back to 2020 serves no purpose. And that's one of the reasons, you know, the network should cover this, but they won't because they're rolling their eyes on this. So one of the reporters in that room today said this.
Why is the president unable to let this go?
Well, first of all, Garrett, I think part of the problem is that the media has refused to acknowledge that tens of millions of Americans across the country share the concerns of this president about the sanctity of our elections. And your premise of your question, you're jumping ahead to a conclusion in this speech before even hearing it yourself. I think that everyone should tune in tonight, including the people in this room, and you should report on the president's speech and the findings that he is going to reveal in this speech with a little bit of honesty and a little bit of integrity, because it will shock you if you have an honest eye listening to the president tonight, and everything he is saying will be backed by facts and by evidence that will be provided this evening. And again, Garrett, again, I think all Americans, Democrat, Republican, should agree that we are the greatest country in the history of the world. We should have the safest and most secure elections in the history of the world. And what the president will be speaking about tonight will show you that perhaps that is not the case, and we need to make some adjustments moving forward, including the Save America Act.
Well, and look, I'm a fan of the Save America Act. I think that should be passed. They're not going to be able to do it. They don't have the numbers right now. So I'll keep an open mind, as Carolyn is indicating, and I don't know what the particulars are, but we'll see exactly what comes about tonight. We're going to air it here on 97.1 FM Talk. Now, one of the legitimate questions today, this is unreal, really, when you think about it, although I think we're going to have more things like this that happen across society. Sue, have you heard about the teleprompter guy?
No.
All right. Here's the question. I'll do this a little backwards here. Here's the question.
Obviously.
Oh, wait. She didn't. I thought the question was in there. Okay. So the teleprompter dude is believed to have made tens of thousands of dollars by placing bets on more than a dozen of Trump's speeches on Kalshi. So the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and federal investigators found that this guy, Gabriel Perez, who is a technical assistant to the president, he's been operating the teleprompter since 2016, is in talks with federal regulators to settle allegations that he used his inside knowledge of the president's speeches to win more than $100,000. So then the question becomes, who's going to run the teleprompter tonight?
Obviously, I'm aware of the report. The president is too. I spoke with him about it. He believes it's deeply unfortunate and frankly a disgrace. And the individual that was cited in that report is complying with the CFTC, but has been put on paid administrative leave. So there will be a teleprompter operator tonight, of course. first, but it will not be the one, unfortunately, in that story.
So the other question is, go ahead.
What was he doing? Taking info?
I'm going to tell you exactly what he did. All right. So let me play this one more, and then I'll tell you exactly what he was doing. So is he fired?
Well, the White House has extremely strict ethical guidelines with respect to issues like this. And as I just told you, this individual will no longer be here. He'll be on paid administrative leave. I'm sorry, without pay. The administrative leave is unpaid, to be very clear. That was a decision by the president, so I think that speaks for itself.
I don't know if they're giving us all the particulars of the specifics of the bets, but what they say is that in the State of the Union address, he placed more than a dozen bets. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They found after the State of the Union address where he did place bets, he had also placed bets on more than a dozen speeches over a three-month period. So that included a December primetime address, a January speech, the one in Davos, Switzerland, and his remarks during a Medal of Honor ceremony in March. So late in March, the White House actually issued an internal memo warning staff against using non-public information to place bets on prediction markets. This is according to ABC News. He served as one of Trump's teleprompter operators, a role he served since the first presidential campaign. Of all of Trump's closest aides, sources say Perez typically has the final eyes on nearly all of the president's prepared remarks and is often known to take last-minute edits from Trump himself. He previously came under scrutiny by congressional and federal investigators over the edits that were made prior to Trump's delivery of the remarks after January 6th. So that's kind of interesting. It doesn't really say, they say investigators uncovered times when he would back out of certain bets mid-speech when Trump skipped over a portion of the speech that included a word that he previously had bet would be mentioned.
Yeah, he would place bets on, you know, how often will this topic or will this word
come up in a speech?
Gotcha. And he knew.
Right. According to sources, he sat for an interview with regulators in recent months. He acknowledged some of the trades. At some point during the investigation, the sources said that CFTC alerted federal prosecutors in Manhattan. They declined to open a criminal investigation. Regulators at the CFTC have expressed a willingness to settle with Perez and have discussed terms with him that would require him to give back his profits and refrain from making similar trades. So it doesn't look like this is going to be a crime necessarily, but I do think in the end he's probably going to lose his job, right? And they've done this a couple of times. Don't forget, you had the Special Forces soldier that was placing bets on the capture of Maduro, right? And then there was another employee at Google who bet on user searches using internal data. Both pleaded not guilty. I think the guy with the Maduro situation, he's in pretty big trouble on that one. So I don't know if this results in criminal charges. I do know that someone else is going to be running the teleprompter tonight during that speech. But look, people, these things, I was watching just the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby. These Kalshi and what's the other one, Polymarket, they are heavily, you know, trying to take away the, I guess I would say the momentum of FanDuel and some of the other betting apps out there, because you can bet on a lot more things, right? Not just sports.
Well, that makes sense, but geez.
But having the insider information makes sense. I'm not saying it makes sense for someone to place bets, but I can see how people would be tempted.
Everything?
Well, if you want to make $100,000 and you're a teleprompter operator making what, $40,000, maybe that's the incentive. I'm not defending it at all. I'm just saying this is probably the tip of the iceberg on stuff like
that. Yeah, you're probably.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
The Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Comedian George Wallace is in town for some shows at Helium at the Galleria. He's going to visit with us at 4:30, and I happen to have a chance to kind of talk to him a little bit earlier because he's making the rounds in our building today, and he is very, very, very funny. He was Jerry Seinfeld's best man in his wedding, so we'll get to George here and talk about some fun stuff in the 4 o'clock hour. John Levine is back with us, political reporter for the Washington Free Beacon. Are you covering the speech tonight, John? Is that part of what your role is today?
No joke. I'm at the White House right this very second.
That's what I heard.
I'm in the press pool, which is, it's basically I just sit here and wait for stuff to happen. And if something happens, I'm here. And sometimes there's events where they, you know when you'll turn on the TV and suddenly you're in the Oval Office and all the reporters are screaming at
you? Yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Those people are in the pool.
Right.
And today's unfortunately kind of a slow day, which is to say nothing's happened of note. Although Caroline did give a press briefing, and that was very interesting.
So,
and she hasn't, this is her first one back.
Yeah, because she's been on maternity leave. So were you in the room for that?
Yes. I was squashed against the wall, but I was there. I was physically present.
Well, before I ask you about some stuff that happened in Chicago, let me ask you about what you may have gleaned from that, you know, that presser today. Do you have any anticipation of what the speech is going to focus on tonight? There's a lot of stuff on social media. We know it's election integrity, but do you have anything else that you've picked up?
Well, I would actually go back to Caitlin Collins' question, which is if there is really new material here and the president has evidence of election fraud that hasn't been previously known, I would. The logical question is, well, are there going to be charges brought by the Department of Justice? And that, to me, is where the rubber meets the road, because you can go on TV and say anything. But what are you backing up with actual indictments and charging documents? And that to me, is this a really serious thing or just more sort of blather? But I don't know. You're not going to goad me, trick me into being predictive about what is going to get said tonight, because I have no idea.
I know. Well,
nobody has any idea.
I'm keeping an open mind, like Carolyn was encouraging, you know, the folks in the room to do. I'm not in the camp that wants to relitigate the 2020 election. To your point, I heard that question that Caitlin asked. I mean, I think what Carolyn said was, I don't speak for the Department of Justice, right? She kind of cut it off at that.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of a dodge, which is fine. And she doesn't speak for the DOJ. But, like, if the president comes out with really significant new accusations and that's not followed up by action from the DOJ, then, you know, I think that will speak for itself.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. All right, let's talk about this event that happened. And this goes back a couple weekends ago in Chicago. The Teachers Union hosted this big Israel-hating communist convention where, you know, there was all these calls for sabotaging the U.S., backing Iran, et cetera. Now, were you there, John? Because I know you guys, the Free Beacon, like, bought a ticket for this thing, right?
Belly of the beast. It was a hot $22.99 or something to that effect. A friend of mine sends me the flyer.
Okay.
I was like, look, there's going to be a psycho communist convention in Chicago. And I'm sort of like, well, you know, whatever. And then I noticed, oh, this is being held in the headquarters of the Chicago Teachers Union. So then my brain is thinking, well, now anything that gets said there is going to be on the Chicago Teachers Union is going to be on the hook for it. So now I'm like, this is a lot more interesting.
Right.
So, because you can find commie conventions, you know, they're really not all that.
Dime a dozen these days, right.
Unfortunately. Yeah. But they are, it is unusual in a teachers union building. So we went, and I just registered under my own name. I didn't march in with a press badge, but I also didn't lie about who I was. I just said John Levine, you know, from D.C. And then I was, thankfully, they were very incurious about me. And I just kind of mingled in there for 2 days. And it was two jam-packed days of, we need to support Iran, we need to support Palestine, we need to support Cuba, we need to support the resistance. There were seminars about how to sabotage U.S. ports. There was a group in South Carolina that gave a presentation about how they sabotaged the port of Charleston because they don't agree with an Israeli company that uses the port of Charleston. So that's what we're talking about here. And it was sort of best practices for, it's really almost domestic terrorism. And they openly said from the stage, the revolution is coming, the revolution's going to be violent, prepare for violence. You know, the best protests are not the legal ones. And it's happening in plain sight. And I was almost, I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, I just hope our government is aware of this. And I hope that my article has brought to light a lot of this material for the people in law enforcement who can actually act on this. You know, I can only raise public awareness. I can't do anything beyond that.
And what's sad about it is this is the type of event that deserves a lot more public awareness than just a column that you wrote. Now, this is my favorite paragraph, though, so just bear with me for a second. I like this one. Conference goers were a motley crew of aspiring revolutionaries. About 20% wore masks. Not shocking. Many attendees were noticeably obese, and there was also a large contingent of openly transgender participants. Breakfast included gluten-free empanadas and a vegan fare, while a gender-neutral bathroom did brisk business. That sounds about right in that descriptor. That's kind of what I would expect, I think.
Exactly. It was if you look at the people at this conference, I don't know this for a fact, but there was they seem like wealthy rich kids. They seem like spoiled children of parents. Maybe they have their working out family issues, or they're resentful, or they're embarrassed that they have all this money that they didn't really earn, and they're taking it out and essentially becoming communists. And I don't use that word lightly.
No.
Like one of the speakers said, we are Marxists. And as Marxists, this is what we believe. And, you know, look, the right has used the word communist kind of loosey-goosey. I mean, we all, you know, like Obama's a communist. Obama was not a communist. And, like, there are
his mentor, his mentors were, but, he might not have been. Certainly his mentors
were. The right was a little loosey-goosey with the word communist.
Yeah, no, I agree with that in theory. Yeah,
communists. And this is an openly communist convention. It's the word that they use. I'm not calling them. They use the word communism, Marxism. They had a moment to celebrate the 105th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party. And they're very, the constant theme was the struggle is coming. Get ready for the struggle. Get ready for the struggle. It feels very much like a sleeper cell fifth column. And it's happening in plain sight. It was shocking how little security there was. They have no fear at all to be sort of openly seditious against our country. And it's just willy-nilly blasé. And it's sad. You know, Reagan said communism is going to go in the dustbin of history, and it went in the dustbin of history, but it's been taken out of the dustbin because communism never fell in academia.
They're
getting it from college. Communism never fell in academia. It has continued. This is a seed of evil in our universities that has poisoned now generations of young minds since the fall of the Soviet Union.
Look, I think it's been
back.
Yeah,
and
it's
now,
been growing.
Is it back? You have their acolytes being elected to Congress.
Yeah, yeah. It's real scary. So one of the things that you put in your piece, John Levine is here with us from the Washington Free Beacon, is there was a map of the meeting facility, and it guided people to different rooms. Please share with my audience the names of the different rooms. And by the way, the teachers union, they were trying to distance themselves from this, right?
Oh, the teachers union... It was teachers union signage all over the place. And very often teachers union and Marxist signage was commingled together. So on a teachers union flyer, it said, we're going to be providing child care in the Fidel Castro room. So child care is provided, you know, instead of room 102, it's now the Fidel Castro room. Okay, great. There's another room called the Resmia Odeh room. Resmia Odeh is a Palestinian terrorist. She blew up a supermarket in 1969, killed two people. She has a room named after her. There was a room named after Nicolas Maduro and his wife, because obviously we need to free them. We had that. That's also a major platform, and they're ready. When if any action is taken by our government in Cuba, they're ready to snap into action there too and shut down things and protest and cause civil disorder. And it's happening in plain sight right under our noses. And I just hope that there are people in our government and law enforcement who recognize that the communist threat is still with us. It never really died and never went away. It's kind of like the ring in Lord of the Rings. The ring survived, and it's back. And I just hope that we can generate a sustained effort. And part of that is just raising consciousness that this problem is real.
Well, and, you know, what you said about the loosey-goosey, it resonates because, you know, you get to a point after you use that, and then when you start using it again when it really deserves to be used, you know, you probably, people think it's just hyperbolic. And it's anything but hyperbolic at this point. So I'm glad that you exposed it. I think it's just shameful that, you know, the rest of the media can't give attention to stuff like this as well. But, John, you're always doing great work. Enjoy your pool work today. Maybe something will pop before the day is over.
Thank you.
All right.
I could use an actual pool. It's like 100 degrees right now.
Yo,
oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Survive the heat. We get it here in St. Louis. Take care.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5. Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Here. Tomorrow, of course, is Friday. We will have a Reardon Roundtable starting at 3. Former St. Louis County Police Chief and Councilman Tim Fitch will be here. Former State Senator Jeff Smith, as we are now less than 3 weeks away from our primary. We'll, of course, have Paul Hall on some entertainment recommendations. The Odyssey is the big movie opening this weekend. Kusumana will be here. We have Bill Eigel, who's running for county executive in St. Charles at 5 p.m. tomorrow, and Kilmeade for a rare Friday visit as well. Coming up a little later after Sue's news, comedian George Wallace is in town. He's at Helium for a few shows, and he's just amazingly funny. I mean, I've been a fan of his for a while, but I got to meet him and talk to him a little bit before the interview as well, because he's doing some stuff on the other stations and he could not be nicer and more funny. So that's coming up as well. J. Peter Zane back with us, who writes at Real Clear Investigations. He's a columnist for Real Clear Politics. It's been a while, Peter. So I wanted to see what was on your mind politically. How are you this afternoon?
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I got to say, we've started a podcast for Real Clear Investigations, and I host it. And I have so much more respect for what you do, because it's hard enough just to flap my jaws, but to actually have to run a show and worry about what other people are saying and the timing. I don't know. I didn't realize how hard it was.
Well, I appreciate that. My advantage is it's the only thing I've ever done in my entire life, and really it's the only skill I have. So I'm in big trouble if it goes away, but I've managed to do it. But I did notice that you were doing the podcast. Everyone's got a podcast, so we can certainly promote that. But I know that you also, on that podcast, or maybe written about, and I've covered this a little bit, the report that came out about the Smithsonian and the National Museum of American History, which, again, I think should have gotten a lot more attention in the legacy media. I think we both agree on that. But that report was extremely problematic. And all I saw in the Washington Post and the New York Times were people trying to, you know, try to make that report look like it didn't say what it did say, I think, is what the problem was.
Well, I mean, anybody with a pulse knows that the basic point the Trump administration was making, which is that the left is trying to recast the story of American history as one of slavery and oppression and bad actors. That is so obvious, stemming back to the 1619 Project, all the stuff that came out with BLM. If anybody's been to a museum, not just the Smithsonian, but you see that. So the Trump administration critiques that. They bring it out that these leftist historians are trying to what we call problematize history. So you want to find all the problems that have occurred in the past. And instead of, and this is really, I think, the main point here, instead of saying, let's have a discussion about the version of history that we are presenting, academic historians, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and others say Trump is trying to politicize something that has already been politicized, because all of the academics will tell you that everything is political. I mean, so that was my sort of problem with this, was that he raised a critique, and instead of engaging with the critique that seems so obvious, you change the way you want us to think about history, they simply said he shouldn't be allowed to do that. And by the way, we're just dealing with facts, which is not even true, because facts only mean anything when you assign meaning to them. Not to get too abstract, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do.
The fact.
And you're, Peter, you're even saying, look, you're not endorsing, you know, whatever Trump's version might be. You're saying, let's have a discussion here that the left doesn't really want to have. And some of the stuff that comes out and you see leaked out about the way that people who are visitors to that museum are being taught about this country is just horrifying. So I think a discussion is warranted, but that discussion won't take place because it is not given any air in a wider platform, seemingly.
Right. Exactly. And you know what? One of the reasons I want to talk to you about this is I'm trying to write a column about it, so you're helping me get my thoughts together. But it really feels like this is a form of authoritarianism, and they keep pushing at Trump. But this authoritarianism is, we are the authorities. We are the experts. And so we are just giving you a neutral view of what's gone on. This is just the facts. These are just reality. When in fact, their own ideology says that there really is no truth. There's just arguments about truth, and all politics is simply trying to get power. So they do all of these things, and then they hide behind the idea that, oh, we don't have any axe to grind. We don't have any political interest in this. We're just telling you that American history, as a factual, objective statement, is the story of oppression and slavery. And if you disagree with that, you're disagreeing with the facts, and you're disagreeing with experts, and you're trying to politicize it. And it's insane. The whole argument is both uncompromising and it's incoherent, because their own ideology tells you that's not true.
I think a lot of this certainly got worse because of what happened here in 2014, you know, and then exacerbated with George Floyd. I'm talking about Mike Brown in 2014, right. Exacerbated by George Floyd and what happened with BLM and all that nonsense. And then the 1619 Project, that was always kind of hanging in the news as well, unfortunately. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm, you know, we talked about this a lot before the 4th of July and the 250th anniversary, that, you know, I want my daughter, I have two sons that might be lost to me when it comes to being anti-American. I'm not kind of joking about that. But I have one son that's a teacher. I kind of call him an indoctrinator. They're not necessarily on my side of politics. But I think that, you know, the Tulsa race riot is brought up quite a bit, right? And Trump and the Republicans don't want people to know about that. That nothing could be further from the truth. Talk about the Tulsa race riot, right? Talk about these things that have happened. But let's not only talk about the bad, oppressive things that have happened. Let's talk about some of the successes, of which we have many in this country from the past several hundred years. But that doesn't seem to be at the top of the minds of the historians and people in academia. Look, I think people in academia have been this way for a long time, but I think that those events that I just talked about gave them more comfort in going down this path one more time with anti-Americanism and oppression and all the other stuff.
And it's authoritarianism because they're using their supposed authority to shut down any discussion. And I agree with you. You need to talk about slavery. You need to talk about oppression. You need to talk about the Pinkertons and going after all of that is part of American history. But they don't want to have a discussion. They want their version and they want to shut everybody up. And the whole point of having free speech is not just so that you can say anything. It's that, you know, the stories we tell are constantly changing. And when people have free speech, they're allowed to say, well, I think this, I think that. And then we go, that doesn't make sense, or that does make sense. And when you say there's only one truth and it's my truth, that is the most un-American authoritarian thing you can do, because it then means that you don't have discussions, and America is a great country because we're constantly self-correcting, which I'm sure you talked about, you know, with July 4th.
Absolutely.
That's the genius of the Constitution, is that we can change, we can get better.
So I've had John Murawski is a guy that's been on the show many times as well, like you. Yes. He's over there at Real Clear. Wrote a piece a few weeks ago about the news of woke's death is greatly exaggerated. I've been one that's been in the camp to say, look, the last 4 years, we make great strides, especially on some of the trans stuff. John's point, and maybe you agree with this, is that, look, there's a lot of woke stuff going out there, and it's not going away, right?
It's what we forget is that, just like we were saying with the history, this is the product of 40 years of ideology. You know, this is the basically what Trump was saying, the Trump administration, about the Smithsonian. They problematize things. So instead of saying, you know, how do we build up a country? You know, what are the good things about it? They say, what can we tear down? You know, this is what the leftist project is. They want to tear everything down so that you don't look to the past. You don't look to any of the institutions that you've had. They're all corrupt. They're all bad, so that they then can create new ones for you. And you saw that in the French Revolution. Remember, they changed the calendar. Now it's year one. You saw that with the Russian Revolution. That's what they want to do. They want to destroy the family, marriage, parenting, all the pillars of society, so that they are then empowered to create their own version of society and reality. And that's what he was trying to say, was that, you know, the essence of wokeness, if there is a thing to it, it is take anything that other people believe in and tear it down. Tell people why it's a why parenting is a problem, why the nuclear family is a problem, why capitalism is a problem, why, you know, communities are a problem. They don't want any of that.
Yeah, like, look, this is an example, just because you brought this up. This is Gavin Newsom.
Something's fundamentally broken here, and that wealth is creating power, locking in rules and regulations, locking everybody else out. I would argue socialism not going to work, but capitalism as we know it doesn't work either.
Okay, I mean, several observations from that. First of all, he runs the state that has the most government regulations of any place on the planet, you know, which is ridiculous. But he was careful there. He's like, oh, socialism might not be the answer, but he's ripping on capitalism, and we're seeing a lot more of that, aren't we?
Well, and that's the butt statement. So he really probably is endorsing socialism.
Yes.
But one of the things I would say to your listeners is, count how many times when you're reading, a prestige publication, you hear these dark times in this, you know, horrible period, in these troubling times. I got to tell you, America, for all its problems, most people are living like kings, literally. I mean, we live so well, and yet they want to tell us that we're living in very dark times. And they do that because if you're living in a dark time, then you need to reject what got you to the dark time and have something new. And so they create this environment in which the goal is to reject. They're not so much embracing. That's the other thing you see about wokeness. As much as they say, oh, we embrace trans people, polyamory, it's not to make us do a positive thing. It's to make us not believe in the thing we had been doing. So they don't embrace polyamory because they want everybody to have 10 partners. They embrace it because they want to destroy marriage. They want to destroy monogamy. They want to destroy the family.
I think you're right.
The way you do it,
Yeah, absolutely. Peter Zane, always great to have you on. Have you pre-ordered Joe Biden's book? I hope you have.
Oh, my God. 6 copies.
can you imagine the audio version of that book, by the way? If he's doing the... I mean, you heard the trailer. You couldn't understand the words even in the trailer, but this is going to be interesting. Peter, have a great weekend. I appreciate you coming on. We'll talk soon.
Thanks
so much. All right,
take
care. So I just have to tell you, and I think I talked about this on the air yesterday. I know that I tweeted it out. There was a viral video, and we had a little audio from this, a viral video of a dude who was stuck in a porta potty. And there were, you know, like first responders, paramedics, firemen that were kind of standing outside of the porta potty. And when I showed this to you, because it's kind of a visual thing, there's not a lot of audio to it, but you kind of sense that there's a dude literally in the porta potty that he got stuck in there. So this happened in Kansas City, we now know. And Patriot Porta Potties, not making this up, the company that, you know, had that porta potty, I haven't heard the whole explanation because I sent it to Ethan. You were watching me kind of listen to this, but after 4:05, before Sue's News, we'll have the explanation from the porta potty company about what happened. Because one of the questions was, how did the dude fall in, right?
Right.
And then, Becky's question was, like, is it that deep? I'm like,
That's a good question, they can
be pretty deep.
Yeah, you look down in there even though you don't want to.
Oh, my God. And I mean, can you even imagine something being...
as horrible as that?
Right.
No.
Yeah. So we'll get into that here in just a couple of minutes, just because I find it fascinating. We'll have a comedian. This is so exciting. Comedian George Wallace, who is just legendary. I mean, he goes back to writing for Sanford and Sons back in the late 1970s. Right. And then he became best friends with Jerry Seinfeld, and he remains besties with Jerry. He was the best friend at Jerry's wedding. So I watched, because I've been telling you, I've been watching Seinfeld and rewatching it. And for whatever reason, I started with season 3. Okay. I just kind of.
Because it said, was better by then.
Well, and I have that perspective now for sure. So I'm in season 8, and we find out that George is coming in today, George Wallace, and Ethan, who is like the biggest Seinfeld fanatic that I've ever known. He knows everything about it. He goes, oh, you know that George Wallace was in a Seinfeld episode. And I can't kind of faint recollection of this. So he said, it's, we looked it up, it was season 8, episode 7. And I just started season 8. So I'm like on season 8, episode 3. So I fast forwarded to that one last night and I watched it. And he does have it's the one where witchy woman and Desperado, like Elaine's dating this dude who is just transfixed when the Eagles Desperado comes on. And then George Wallace at the end of the episode, he's a surgeon and witchy woman is playing. And he has the same reaction. So that was the episode. But on the perspective thing, look, he's got, there's the music.
There he goes.
On the perspective thing, after I finished season 7, I'm like, well, okay, maybe I should go back and watch 1 and 2, right? Well, the pilot of the show is just awful. Like, how it ever got a second episode?
It's
after
a
the
miracle.
First. Yeah. So then you also notice, because I don't know why, but I was so off put by the pilot. I'm like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to season 2, and that's what I did. So I started rewatching season 2 now. I know I'm kind of doing this backwards, so I'm not going to go back to season 8 until I finish season 2. But what's interesting is you can literally feel and see this show getting better and more polished, and the characters taking on the personas that we all know and love. And really, it was season 3 where that clicked.
Yeah.
I mean, the comedic
timing.
Larry David's writing, everything became so natural. Kramer's entrance into Jerry's apartment, it was not as natural. It became such a habit that it was just so funny when he, you know, shook his way into the door the way he did. Well, that was, you know, something that took a little time to develop. So I don't know if there's a book. There probably is a book about Seinfeld. What George will tell you is, George Wallace is, and I think you're going to hear this, George Wallace is like absolutely the opposite of Jerry Seinfeld in this way. Jerry is an introvert. He doesn't like to do interviews.
Yeah,
and stuff
George
like that,
loves
right?
it.
George loves it. He's been on TV, radio today, but he'll tell you Jerry didn't like doing, because I said, could we just call Jerry during our segment? I don't think he was going to do that. But it's interesting because I'd love to see a book or even a good documentary, you know, with Larry David and Jerry and Jason Alexander talking about all this stuff. I saw one recently when Jason Alexander, this was on an interview that he had done years ago, but it was on Instagram that was kind of recirculating about how they all insisted on getting million-dollar paychecks and all the same because they knew of the potential in the syndication.
Yes.
And by the way, they weren't wrong about that.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.